start with the basics of kashrus. What's kosher, what's not kosher. Kosher animals. How do you know if an animal is kosher or not? So there are two kinds of animals. There are behemos and chayos. We're talking now about basically mammals. Okay. Mammals are either a behema, which is more of a domesticated animal. It's not necessarily that's exactly what the criteria is, but that's more or less loosely. And chayos, which are undomesticated animals, wild animals. Both behemos and chayos have the same simoni kashrus. The Torah says specifically what they are. The animal chews its cud, and if you don't know what that means, it means that if you ever see a cow, right, they're pasturing, so they're constantly chewing. Sometimes that's why in school when my teacher caught me with gum, they called you a cow. In any case, they're constantly chewing. So what happens is the cows don't have, I'll give the cows an example, but all mammals that are kosher don't have sharp teeth to really, tear the food apart so they can swallow it and digest it the way it is. So they have very dull teeth. So they chew it up minimally and swallow it. And it goes into a pre-stomach, rudimentary stomach, it's called. And there it begins to be digested by digestive juices. And then they regurgitate it, means they spit it up. And it comes back in their mouth. And now it's softer, so their teeth can re-chew it. And then they swallow it, and it goes into their regular stomach. Okay? That's called chewing your cud. Okay? Now, if you don't want to eat meat, I understand. That's how cows and mammals function. That's called chewing your cud.
Why do you suppose Hashem created animals that way, to do that? I mean, it's a weird thing. You know? Why not?
Why did he create animals that way?
Is there any...
I don't know. I have a better question. Why did he create these animals altogether, right? He could create other animals, right? Why did he do all these different animals? So whatever reason the Ribbono Shel Olam created these animals for, he figured these are the way they got to function, right? So as soon as we understand why he created those animals, we understand why he created them this way. I don't know if there's an answer to that question. There are answers why these kind of process is kosher, because they're not predatory animals. They're very docile. Meat can make you more animalistic. You are what you eat. In fact, I once saw, I think it was also Reader's Digest, or maybe it was a Scientific American, one of the two, that they made an experiment with earthworms. They had three groups of earthworms. One group they taught to react to a certain stimulus, right? The light. When the earthworm knew that when the light shines on them, that's where their food is. So they turned to the right every time the light went, because they knew that that was the stimulus that they were programmed to do.
Pavlovian worms?
What?
Pavlovian worms?
Right, Pavlovian worms. And that was then. Now, they took, this is the reason they make this experiment with earthworms, you'll see in 1 second, because you could have done the same thing with dogs, right? Then they took those earthworms and chopped them up. Mm. And they fed them to group B of earthworms, who ate their cannibal earthworms, ate the other earthworms that had been taught this stimulus. Then they had a control group C of earthworms that were never taught the stimulus and didn't eat earthworms that were taught the stimulus. And now they tried to teach these two groups, B and C, the same stimulus again. And what do you think happened? That group B learn the stimulus faster than group C, which means that lechara, that you are what you eat, right? That because they ate the worms that learned the stimulus, they integrated whatever chemical, whatever it was, and they became like those worms, right? There was a poem that we had to read in English literature about this guy who was on a shipwreck thing, and he ate all the other what's it called, all the other ones, and the poem is, I am the captain and the this one and that one, because all of them, he ate them all. Remember such a poem? The Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. That's what it was.
Right? Right. They don't
have any
sound words.
What?
They don't have any sound.
The, you ever read The Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner?
Yeah, at some point.
Okay. In any case, that's
what
it
was. I don't remember it though.
Yeah. It sounds ancient.
Right. I remember like it was yesterday, so I can't remember yesterday. in any case, how do we get into The Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner? In any case, so that was the thing. So, Namela. It's very possible that even if physically, right, things can pass on what you eat, surely spiritually it affects you. So being an animal is not 100% a good thing. You can eat meat and you can raise the meat up to the level of a human being. Or you can be dragged down by the meat because it integrates and it makes you more animalistic. So the Torah, according to some opinions, the Torah therefore said the only meat you can eat is from animals that are more docile. So instead of the meat affecting you, you'll affect the meat. Because the meat itself is more of a passive thing. But in animals that are predators, then the animal is much more aggressive, so the aggressiveness of the animal is going to overpower you, and it's going to bring into you bad midos of aggression or whatever. That's an idea behind kashrus. So it could be for that, based on that, right? That's why the Rebbeinu Shem made these animals have, even when they eat grass, they can't tear it apart. It has to go through a whole process. It makes them even more docile.
What about a bull? A bull is not very docile.
No, that's true. But he still doesn't eat other bulls or, right.
It's not fun.
Okay. Yeah. So what?
Isn't it a lesson on how to, on learning and education?
Could be. I mean, all of these things are tamei hamitzvah. They're tastes in the mitzvah, right? They're not reasons for the mitzvah. They're tastes. They're ideas. Okay. Now he says, "What's and on the second simon is that they're both. It has to chew its cud, and it has to have a cloven foot. Cloven foot means that a horse, which is not kosher, obviously." You ever see a horseshoe, right? The foot of a horse is a round bone, like, on the bottom, right? It's completely a circle. By, what's it called? By kosher animals, it's not a hoof that's completely around, but it's split into, like, two toes. And that is also a kosher animal. It has to have both simanim. And there are only a few animals in the world that only have one simon. Either they have both or they have neither. The pig has a cloven hoof, but it doesn't chew its cud. Right? It looks kosher on the outside, but on the inside it's no good. That's the pig represents Esav. Esav on the outside looked fine. It was on the inside that he was a total pigs, right? the camel is the opposite. A camel chews its cud, but it doesn't have a cloven foot. And along with the camel, there's also the arneves and the shafan. Shafan and arneves. We're not 100% sure. The modern Hebrew translation of shafan is a rabbit or a hare, and our nevis is whichever one the other one was, a hare or a rabbit. I don't know the difference between a hare and a rabbit any gear. What? But that's not necessarily, because I don't think hares and rabbits chew their cud. I don't think so. There is a certain kind of something that's called an arneves or a shafan, called a, what was it called? It's not a rabbit or a hare.
A hyrax.
A who? Hyrax?
That's what they say.
Could be. Could be. And that does chew its cud. He doesn't say what it is or whatever.
Rabbits are pretty docile, aren't they?
What?
Rabbits are pretty docile.
It could be. Again, that's not the only reason. But these two simonim usually separate that there can't be anything but those. Okay. In any case, so animals that have even one of the simonim, surely they don't have both, are tame. Those are called behemos tame. They're not treif. Treif is a word that we use very loosely. We'll see what treifa is exactly, not this week, but next week. But right now we're talking about the kind of thing that's not kosher that is called tame, a behema tamea. These are non-kosher animals, okay? And now those kosher animals are divided into two parts. One are called behemos, like we said, the more domesticated, and the others are chayos. The difference between them is not so clear. The difference is in what kind of horns they have. Chayos usually have horns, and the horns have to be a certain way. And there's a difference in the kashrus of the two. They're both kosher. But the chaylev of a chaya is what's it called, is permitted. We'll get to what chaylev is also next week. And the chaylev of a behema, the certain forbidden fats in a behema that are permitted in a chaya, and the blood, when you slaughter a behema, you don't have to cover the blood. When you slaughter a chaya, you do have to cover the blood. Those are the basic differences between a chaya and a behema. Okay, but otherwise, a chaya is a kosher animal if it has both of these simanim, it chews its cud and has a cloven hoof, and a behema is a kosher animal if it has both of these simanim. And it's a mitzvah to know what these simanim look like and to be able to identify kosher animals. It's a mitzvah to learn these simanim and to see what they are. And I bought a book a while back that has pictures of these things, very, very nice, detailed, real pictures. Next week I will bring it, so Mekayim that mitzvah, if you know what it looks like, Mekayim that mitzvah, dangerous? Knowing the difference. What?
Those two are dangerous.
We're dangerous? Yeah. What dangerous?
Those two animals.
Which animals?
We just discussed.
The what?
Those we just discussed.
These
animals have certain characteristics, right?
Yeah, most of these animals, again, a bull could be pretty dangerous, so could a... I'll give you some of the names. The kosher animals are cows, goats, sheep, deer, bison, gazelles, antelopes, ibexes, addixes, and giraffes.
Buffaloes?
Huh?
Buffaloes.
Buffaloes, we'll speak about buffaloes. The buffaloes not so posh. Yeah?
Why are there two differences between behemoth and chayos?
Why is there a difference? I don't know.
Why in the covering the blood?
In the covering the blood could be, again, and that there's no reason, but what an idea is behind it is that, at least by covering the blood. Covering the blood, you have to cover the blood of fowl and chayas, not behemoths. Why? One reason could be that these animals are out in the wild, and they used to worship shadim. Devil worship and shadim worship, and part of it was to eat blood, and the powers of the shadim, or to feed the blood to the shadim or whatever, was a way of devil worship. And therefore, since the animals that are out in the field, out what you call, are more prone to being used for that purpose, the Torah said you have to cover the blood, and therefore you can't, impossible to drink, you cover it, it's not drinkable anymore. And it was dafka, the blood that came from the shechita, not the blood that came afterwards. It was the life blood that they used to drink. So covering that, what's it called, took away that possibility.
So the Ben Yehoyada says that Rivka fell off the camel, and yeah. So she had the Dama Simanim. The chayos and the birds guarded the garden.
Ah, so therefore their blood is... Okay, that's a... more esoteric reason. Again, it was an idea, but this is one time in the thing. Why the chaylev is mutter or not, I'm not sure. It could be another one. There's a reason. Another reason is but then it leads to another question, right? Chayas are not kosher for karbonos, for sacrifices. Behemas are. That could be because the Rabbanu Shlom didn't want you to have to go hunting animals to bring as a korban. You have what you have in your house. Bring that. So the blood and the fat of behemos can go on the Mizbeach. So you can't eat that. But the blood and fat of a chaya never goes on the Mizbeach. There's no reason why you can't, not you can't eat it, but why you should, what's it called, the blood of a behema, which can go on the Mizbeach, so you don't want to cover it even when it's not going on the Mizbeach. It's like sacrilegious. But the blood of a chaya can cover, or the other reason applies. And the fat of a chaya, since it never goes on the Mizbeach, nothing wrong with you eating it secularly. But the fat of the behema, which could go on the Mizbeach, we don't want you to eat it secularly. That's, again, there's a lot of questions on any of these ideas, because they're not reasons, they're just ideas.
What's the difference between buffalo and bison?
What?
What's the difference between buffalo and bison?
Buffalo and a bison, I'm not 100% sure. Next week we'll see about buffaloes. I'm not sure if a bison is a buffalo or not.